Narayanam namaskritya naram cheva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 20, Chapter entitled Pure Devotional Service, text number 22. Sankena. 21, okay. Esha Vai Paramo Yogo Manasa Sangraha Smrita Hridaya Gyatvam Anvichchan Damyasyevavato Muhu. Esha vai paramo yogo, manasa sangraha smita, hridaya gyatvam anvichchan, damyasyeva vato muhu. Esha vai paramo yogo, manasa sangraha smrita, hridaya gyatvam anvichchan, damyasyeva vato muhu. Esha, this, vai, indeed, parama, supreme. Yoga. Yoga process. Manasa. Of the mind. And sangraha. Complete control. Smrita. Thus declared. Hridaya gyatvam. The characteristic. Sorry. The characteristic of knowing intimately. Anvichchan, carefully watching. Damyasya, which is to be subdued. Iva, like. Avata, of a horse. Muhu, always. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. An expert horseman, desiring to tame a headstrong horse, first lets the horse have his way for a moment, and then, pulling the reins, gradually places the horse on the desired path. Similarly, the supreme yoga process is that by which one carefully observes the movements and desires of the mind, and gradually brings them under full control. Translation responsibly. An expert horseman. Desiring to tame a headstrong horse. First lets the horse have his way. For a moment. And then pulling the reins. Gradually places the horse on the desired path. Similarly, the supreme yoga process is that by which one carefully observes the movements and desires of the mind, and gradually brings them under full control. Purport. Just as an expert rider intimately knows the propensities of an untamed horse and gradually brings the horse under control, An expert yogi allows the mind to reveal its materialistic propensities and then controls them through superior intelligence. A learned transcendentalist withholds and supplies sense objects so that the mind and senses remain fully controlled, just as the horseman sometimes pulls sharply on the reins and sometimes allows the horse to run freely. The rider never forgets his actual goal or destination and eventually places the horse on the right path. Similarly, a learned transcendentalist, even though sometimes allowing the senses to act, never forgets the goal of self-realization, nor does he allow the senses to engage in sinful activity. Excessive austerity or restriction may result in great mental disturbance, just as pulling excessively on the reins of a horse may cause the horse to rear up against the rider. The path of realization depends upon clear intelligence, and the easiest way to acquire such expertise is surrender to Lord Krishna. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 10.10, Tesham satata yukdanam bhajatam kriti puravakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upiyanti te. One may not be a great scholar or spiritual intellect, but if one is sincerely engaged in loving service to the Lord, without personal envy or personal motivation, the Lord will reveal from within the heart the methodology required to control the mind. Expertly riding the waves of mental desire, a Krishna conscious person does not fall from the saddle, and he eventually rides all the way back home, back to Godhead. Omigyan, Timanandasya, Ginanjana, Shalakaya, Chakshurunmilitamye, Tasmai, Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya, Manobishtam, Stapitam, Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa, Kadamayam, Kadati Swa, Vedantikam, Vancha, Kalpaturubhyascha, Kripa, Sindhu, Vyevacha, Petitanam, Pavanebhyo, Vaishna, Vibhyo, Namo, Namaha, Jaya, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Rasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Ram Ram Hare Hare. So in the end of the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains the hierarchy amongst the senses, the sense objects, the mind, the intelligence, the Atma, and the Supersoul. So first of all, we have the sense objects. Sense objects means those things which we are attracted to. Every living entity is attracted to sense objects. In the spiritual world, every living entity is only attracted to one sense object. Which object is that? Krishna. Everyone is only attracted to Krishna. It is explained that the devotees in the spiritual world, sometimes they are walking through the forest in search of garlands, in search of flowers to make garlands for Krishna. And as they walk into the Vrindavan forest, they smell the aroma of, for example, the jasmine, the night blooming jasmine, which is intoxicating. But when the devotees smell that aroma, it is incredibly attractive, but the devotee immediately thinks in his mind, let me not become distracted in my service to Krishna. Let me remain focused on my service to Krishna. So the devotee does not allow his mind or senses to get taken off the path of his service to Krishna. And automatically, the aromas in Vrindavan are enjoyed by the devotees. The devotees can smell all the wonderful aromas, and they feel attracted to them, but they don't let them interfere with their service. It's not like one of the gopis says to one of the mandaris, go and pick some flowers for Krishna. And half an hour later, now Lalita says to Vishakha, now where did that mandari go? And go and find her. So you go off, and then the mandari is sitting there in the garden smelling all the flowers. Oh, this one is wonderful then. No, the devotees don't think like that. The devotees think, oh, these flowers smell very attractive. Let me offer them to Krishna. You understand the point? They don't become distracted. Automatically, they're enjoying all the variety of Vrindavan. But they think, no, this is all for Krishna's pleasure. They don't think this is for our pleasure. It's secondary. So Krishna, because he is Bhagavan, he is God, Prabhupada explains in the Sri Isha Upanishad, he doesn't want to control us. He just wants cooperation. That's all. Right? And that's all you have to do to get back into the spiritual world. You have to learn to cooperate with Krishna once again. Just like when Prabhupada disappeared from this world, then Srila Prabhupada said, the proof of how much you love me is how much you will cooperate after I am gone. So that is the test. Krishna is watching all of us and seeing how much are we willing to cooperate together to push on the Sankirtan movement. Are we willing to allow our false ego and our mind and our intelligence to go to the side and to put the collective responsibility of spreading the Sankirtan movement first? What is our priority? So Krishna is testing all of us. That's why he puts us in the Sankirtan movement in Kali Yuga. Right? Because in the Sankirtan movement there are many impediments and challenges and obstacles. Srila Prabhupada says, nothing can stop this movement from outside. It can only be stopped by internal quarrel. When the devotees begin to quarrel with each other, and there is not cooperation amongst the devotees, that's when things become distracted. That's when the Sankirtan movement has problems. Like that. The external problems, no matter how big they are, they will always be overcome. But the internal problems can stop the Sankirtan movement when the devotees do not cooperate together. So Prabhupada says this is the proof. And if Krishna sees that we are cooperating together, then he says, okay, now come back to the spiritual world. You're going to leave your body? You are qualified. You've passed the test. You are a cooperative soul. Prabhupada explains, Krishna doesn't want to control us. What is the pleasure in control? Just like if someone's controlling someone says, you have to do this. Someone has a gun. Right? And someone says, okay, do this. The person says, I don't want to. He says, do it, or else I'll shoot you. Like that. So where's the pleasure in that? The person is doing whatever you want, but there's no pleasure. So Krishna is not a control freak. Krishna is not sitting there in the spiritual world, okay, Gopi, go and get me some grapes. And the Gopi says, I have to have prasadam first. Krishna says, quick, or else I'll kill you with a lightning bolt. Quick, do your service. Krishna is not like that. Krishna just wants cooperation. So it is explained that in the spiritual world, everyone is attracted to the ultimate sense object, and the ultimate sense object is Krishna. People are not attracted to other sense objects. Just like in this material world, we're all attracted to sense objects. Why is that propensity there? Why are we so attracted to the sense objects? Because that is the nature of the soul, to be attracted to sense object. But the original sense object is Krishna. Just like there are many wonderful fragrances in the spiritual world, but which fragrance is the most wonderful? Out of all the fragrances in Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, then which one is the most attractive? Tulsi, yeah. Tulsi might be second. Kadamba might be third. Yeah, not even the dust from Krishna's lotus feet, but actually Krishna's own aroma. Krishna's body emanates an aroma, a most beautiful fragrance, the most beautiful fragrance, an all-attractive fragrance. When the gopis smell Krishna, they smell Krishna somewhere close. Just like sometimes Jatila. Jatila is the mother-in-law of Radharani. So sometimes she hears that Krishna is with Radharani, so she comes. And she runs into the forest grove. And just before she gets there, then Krishna disappears. He quickly disappears. And she gets there and she goes, I can smell that flax snake. Where is he? I know he's here. He's been here. And then, different pastimes are there. One pastime, Radharani is there and she's with, she's worshipping the sun god. And it's a whole pastime. I won't tell the whole pastime, but then Radharani offers obeisances like that in front of the sun god. And before Jatila got there, then Radharani stole Krishna's flute, right? And she, when Krishna wasn't looking, she put it in her braid. Radharani's braid goes all the way down to her disguise. It might even go down to her feet, I think it's described. It goes long, long, long black braid. So she put it in her braid. So then she offers obeisances in front of Jatila, and the flute falls out on the ground. And Jatila says, "I know that flute." She says, that snake has been here. You've been having association with him. So right around, she's terrified. What will she say? And then Purnamasi, who is the older gopi in Vrindavan, she wears white clothes, white hair. She is Yogamaya personified. She is the pastime potency of Krishna. So Yogamaya is there, Purnamasi is there, and she says, "Oh, don't you know, Jatila, last night there was a flute shower." She said, "Last night it was raining flutes on Govardhan Hill." And Radharani went to Govardhan Hill on the way here to Suryakund, and she saw one of the flutes, she picked it up and she put it in her. And she said, "I've never heard of a flute shower. I've never heard of rain." She said, "No, go to Govardhan Hill, you'll see." So Jatila says, "Okay, let's go." So they all walk to Govardhan Hill, which is not far away, and they all go to Govardhan Hill, and there's flutes all over Govardhan Hill. By the arrangement of Yogamaya, she makes a pastime potency. So, sometimes then, what are we doing here in the material world? We're all attached to staying in the material world. We could, right now, we could be in the spiritual world enjoying these pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But we're so attached to our Rolex watch or whatever it is we're attached to. We'll stay here in the material world. But if we're intelligent, actually, we'll go to the spiritual world right now. We'll fully surrender to Radha and Krishna and we'll enter into their service. So, it describes the Krishna's fragrance, the fragrance of his body, is the most attractive of all fragrances. So it describes that when the devotees do Abhishek of Krishna, just like if you go to Govindakund in Govardhan Hill, and the devotees do Abhishek, Lord Indra did Abhishek of Krishna, if you go to that lake, which is still there next to Govardhan Hill, called Govindakund, then that water is the Abhishek from Krishna. When Lord Indra and Airavata, his elephant, and all the devotees, when they did Abhishek of Krishna, that formed that kund, which is called Govindakund. So when you take bath in that kund, you're taking directly bath in the water which is directly Abhishek the body of Krishna. So it describes that in Vrindavan, when the devotees do Abhishek of Krishna, then that water which goes over his body, it captures his aroma. Or the fragrance of his body, and it enters into the ground, and then it comes up through all the different flowers. So when you smell gardenia, or when you smell jasmine, or when you smell rose, or when you smell frangipani, or whichever tree, this is some portion of the fragrance of Krishna's body. The acharyas describe, this is why all flowers have fragrance. That fragrance is originally coming from Krishna's body. So the fragrance of his body is the most attractive of all things. So in the spiritual world, everyone is simply attracted to one sense object. They're attracted to Krishna. Right? Everyone simply wants to smell the aroma of Krishna's form. Everyone wants to see the beauty of Krishna's form. Everyone wants to touch Krishna's body. They want to massage his body. Everyone wants to taste the prasad which is left by Krishna. And everyone wants to hear sound of Krishna's flute and his voice. What does his voice sound like? Yeah, it sounds like rumbling. You know, sometimes you see the clouds, there's no rain or there's no lightning, but you hear a rumbling in the sky. That's what Krishna's voice is like. Right? Very deep, like a rumbling cloud. And the sound of his flute is so beautiful, and he has three types of flutes. One is called Venu, one is called Murali, and one is called Vamshi. So he has three types of flutes, and he uses different flutes to create different moods in Vrindavan. So when people hear the sound of his flute, then everyone becomes immediately attracted.
It says that when Krishna plays his flute, it is so beautiful that everything that is inanimate, it becomes animate. In other words, everything which does not normally move, it begins to move. So all the mountains begin to move and rumble. Right? And it describes the Jamuna, she's flowing through Vrindavan, and when she hears Krishna's flute, she stops, then she begins to flow backwards towards Krishna's, the sound of Krishna's flute. It describes that all the birds, when they're flying overhead, when Krishna begins to play his flute, all the birds become stunned. Just listen to the flute. And what happens when the birds stop flying? Right? So wherever Krishna plays his flute, there's birds going all over Vrindavan. Right? Because everyone is so captivated by his flute. So this is the ultimate sense object. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes that in the beginning there are sense objects, but higher than the sense objects are the senses. Yeah, the senses are higher than the sense objects because it's our senses which allow us to experience the sense objects in this world. And then higher than the senses is the mind, right? And then higher than the mind is the intelligence, right? And then higher than the intelligence is the soul. And then higher than the soul is the super soul. Okay? So this is the correct hierarchy. Now, this is when you have the hierarchy in the correct order, then everything runs very smoothly in spiritual life. In the material world, the hierarchy is upside down. What is on top? Sense objects. Right? That's the top. In the material world, sense objects is top. Right? And then what is second? The senses, right? We have to enjoy our senses. That's what material world is all about. We have to enjoy our senses. Just like what do people say when they see you? Are you having a good time? Are you enjoying yourself? Just like all the American people like to say, enjoy. Enjoy. Coca-Cola. Enjoy. This is the trademark. Enjoy. Like that. So this is the material world. It means the senses are the topmost. Right? And then below the senses is the mind. Right? People think, oh, the mind. Right? As long as the mind is happy, right, in this material world, as long as it has enough sense gratification, then life is satisfactory. When my mind is satisfied with my sense gratification, then my life is satisfactory. And then the intelligence. Right? Now, what is the intelligence for? Right? If you take it from the material point of view, what's the intelligence for? Right? Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, he said it is the capital of lust. So what does the intelligence do all day when someone is a lusty person? Right? All day it just thinks, how can I get my sense object? How can I get my sense gratification? How can I enjoy this? How can I enjoy that? It is working overtime just so I can enjoy everything. That's what economic development is for. Why do people work so hard? To get karma phal. Karma phal means the fruit of their work. And what do you do with the fruit of the work? Right? Then you enjoy sense gratification. Work hard all week, right? So that we can enjoy ourselves on the weekend. Right? It's a good life, isn't it? Right? Work hard, work hard, work hard, work hard, work hard. Just like right now, you go to the Westgate Bridge, big traffic jam. Southeastern Freeway, Eastern Freeway, Westgate, Tullamarine Freeway, big traffic jams coming right now. Why are people suffering so much? Why are they tolerating all this? Because on Saturday we can go to the MCG. We can eat meat pies and we can drink beer and we can yell as our team loses. That is our life. That is our sense gratification. We'll tolerate everything. So, the intelligence, and then the soul. Where's the soul? Right? There is no soul. Right? Everyone forgets the soul. In the material world, right? Senses, sense objects, senses, mind, intelligence, then soul. Everyone forgets there is a soul. He's just on the bottom. And then super soul, right? He's the furthest down of all. Don't remind me of God because you'll wreck all of my fun. Right? If you tell me about God, then all my fun becomes destroyed. So therefore, for the devotee, spiritual life works when you put it up the other way. But when it gets the other way, When it turns upside down, then your spiritual life becomes hell. Yeah? Hands up if sometimes you struggle with your mind. Oh God. Big trouble. Why do we struggle with our mind? Because everything goes up the other way. Right? Who is meant to control the mind? Who controls the mind? Intelligence. But when it goes up the other way, then the mind controls the intelligence. The mind says, I want this, and the intelligence says, okay, now I have to work out how to get it. When it's up the other way, the mind says, I want this, and the intelligence says, but that's not really good for you. Right? What you really want is Krishna. Right? And mind says, no. I'll have Krishna later. No. Intelligence says, no, now. Now is good. No, I have so many material desires. But intelligence says, no, it's okay. Just relax. You can still have your sense gratification, but focus on Krishna. That is the point. So the mind has three functions: thinking, feeling, and willing. Right. First one is thinking. Right. I begin to think about sense gratification. Next one is feeling. Now I begin to feel what it is like. Ooh, I used to have it. I had it previously. I used to enjoy that. Now I want it again. So then you begin to feel what it's like. And after you begin to feel in the mind what it's like, then what do? Willing. Now I have to have it. Right? So for devotees, we have to be very careful. Don't let yourself go past the thinking platform. Don't go to the point of feeling and willing. Because it's really difficult to control the mind when it gets to that point. And when you go all the way to feeling sense gratification or willing sense gratification, it's very hard to come back, to bring the mind back from that point. Right? Thinking, everyone thinks of sense gratification. Right? Every 5 minutes sense gratification comes into our mind. But for the devotee, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in his purport to Bhagavad Gita, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguno Samud Bhava. He says, there's so much lust in the mind. There is so much desire to enjoy sense gratification in the mind. So then how do we deal with that? Right? In Manu Samhita, it describes, or in the instructions of Chanakya, what's it called? I think Rajaniti. It describes that when dealing with an enemy, there are four ways to deal with an enemy. What are those four ways? Yeah, what is it in Sanskrit? Sam, Dan, Ved, Danda. Okay. Yeah. Sam, Dan, Ved, Danda. Why that Sam? So it means, when you're dealing with an enemy, you use four tactics. One is that you use sweet words. It's okay, we're not actually enemies. Right? Just because your army is at the front of my city and about to kill me, but actually we're not enemies. You go out and you use some sweet words. Right? If that doesn't work, then dan. Dan means charity. Okay, it looks like you're still going to smash my city apart, so how about I give you half the city? Dan, I give you some charity. If that doesn't work, then Bade means I will give you some equality. I'll give you some position. I'll make you equal. Like that. Is that the correct? Which one's which?
Diplomacy.
Yeah. So what it means is that you make the person equal. You say, I also make you the king. We'll have an equal position. And that way you try to conquer that. And then if that doesn't work, then the only way to fight the enemy is dund. Dunda means stick. You have to hit them. It means you have to use aggression. Like that. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, when you're dealing with your mind, and your mind goes through thinking, feeling, and willing, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says you go straight to the fourth option, which is called? Danda. What did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur say when you're dealing with your mind? 100 times in the morning, hit it with a? Sure. And 100 times in the evening, hit it with a? Broom. That's the, that's the system when you're dealing with the mind. Right? If you try to negotiate with the mind, right, the mind will trick you. A very, very tricky fellow. You say, oh, yeah, okay. Like, we'll have some. And the mind says, oh, yeah, but later, like this, and we'll do it. Yeah, I'll chant my rounds. I'll chant them. But just give me a few minutes. I've just got to do a few things. Yeah, I'll chant. Okay. It's okay. Now, trust me. Right? And the mind says, okay. And then we say, okay. I'm going to give it a few minutes. It doesn't work. Right? Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says, when you're dealing with the mind, then, boom, dunder. Right? You just have to hit it. Right? The mind says, oh, I want to do this. No. Bang. Listen. Just listen to me. Like that. Just hit the mind and say, okay, I'm in control here. Right? The intelligence is in control, not the mind. Right? And who is the intelligence under the control of? Right? The soul. Right? I am Jivatma. I am Krishna's eternal servant. Krishnera Nitya Das. Right? Jivara Swarupahoy. Right? So you listen to me, mind. Because we're going to serve Paramatma. We're going to serve Krishna. We're not going to allow ourselves to be under the control of something else like that. So it is mentioned here in the purport that one may not be a great scholar or spiritual intellect, but if one is sincerely engaged in loving service to the Lord without personal envy or personal motivation, the Lord will reveal from within the heart the methodology required to control the mind. So this is the potency of bhakti yoga. It is quoted in this purport. Tesham satata yukdanam vajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Satatam, sorry. Where is it? Yeah. Tesham satata yukdanam. What does yukta mean? Yukta. Yoga, what does it mean, yukta? Right. Connected. Yoga means to unite, connect. Right. Satata, what does sat mean? Always. Tesham, satata yuktanam. Krishna is saying, be always engaged in my service. He says in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, keep inauspicious things far away by devotional service. Don't give yourself time. Right, to engage in devotional service. Maya just needs a little crack. Right? As soon as there's some opportunity during the day where you rest, right? Not doesn't mean you rest, but as soon as you give yourself an opportunity to not be in Krishna's service, not being engaged in Krishna's service, then immediately Maya will enter at that time. So satata yuktanam means to be continuously engaged in Krishna's service. But how do we remain engaged in Krishna's service continuously? Hands up if you have a hard time being always engaged in Krishna service. Oh God. Okay. So, what does it mean to be always engaged in Krishna service? Krishna says, Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. Bhajan, what is Bhajan? Yeah, worship, service, right? Devotional activities. Bhajana Kriya. Bhajan means our devotional activities. Everything we do. Our service, our worship, our hearing, our chanting. Everything we do for Krishna. It has to be done with priti. What does priti mean? It has to be done with love. Right? You can do this rules and regulations, sadhana, for lifetimes and lifetimes. But you won't remain always engaged in Krishna's service if it's like that. You have to develop love for Krishna. You have to develop priti. You have to learn to love him. Right? How do you learn to love him? Right? You have to become intimate with him. It means you have to learn about him. Why did Prabhupada give us the Krishna book in 1970? Right? Prabhupada said, and this is something that was done in ISKCON in the 70s when Prabhupada was here. Prabhupada said all the devotees should read Krishna book before they go to sleep. And that's what everyone used to do in our temples all around the world. Everyone used to read Krishna book. Right? If you read Krishna book, you'll become intimate with him. You'll get to know him. Right? And you'll become attracted to him. You'll become attached to him. Right? You hear about him, and then what do you do after you hear about him? You do practical service for him. What do we do all day? We do service for Krishna. Everything we do is for Krishna. Right? It's for Guru and Krishna. That's how you become attached. How do you become attached to your spiritual master? Right? How do you become attached to your Guru? Who's the person you're most attached to in this world, honestly? Who are you most attached to? Yeah, that should be like that. But who are you? Like, think about it. Who are you actually attached to the most? Right? It should be Guru. Right? And it should be Param Guru. Right? That's who we're most attached to in this world. Right? And if you become attached to them, how do you become attached to them? You hear about them. You read Lilamrita. Right? You hear about your Guru's pastimes. You become attached. And then what do? Then you serve them. When you serve someone, you become attached to them. Right? That's how we become attached to the Guru. That's how we become attached to Prabhupada. By serving, dedicating our lives. Prabhupada, everything is yours. I don't have anything else in this world. Right? My only desire is to serve you. Not my only, it means that we've all got other desires in the heart. But my overriding desire, my most significant desire, is your service. This is where I put most of my energy and time. And then what happens? Then you become attached to the Guru. You become attached to Prabhupada. It is the same principle with Krishna. How do we become attached to Krishna? You have to hear about Krishna, and then you have to serve him. And then you'll become attached to him. Right? And then you can be satata yuktana. Then you can be always engaged. If you're not actually attached to him, if you don't actually have love for him, you won't be always engaged in his service. But you'll become always engaged in his service. That's why Prabhupada says in the very beginning, in his first purport for the Bhagavatam, he says that devotees should read books like Krishna Bhavanamrita and Govinda Lilamrita, which are by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He says these books will keep you always in Krishna consciousness. So we read the 10th canto, we read the Krishna book, right? And we read the pastimes in the Krishna book, and then there are so many commentaries by the acharyas on those pastimes, right? And this way we can always think of Krishna while we're doing our activity. That's the whole point. That is the process, right? You're sweeping the temple floor, but while you're sweeping the temple floor, you're thinking of the pastimes of Krishna, right? That is meant to be the system. That's what we're supposed to be doing here. Sooner or later we have to work it out. What are we doing here? And we're not just here because they have good prasadam. Some are here just because they have good prasadam. But that is not the main reason why we're here. We're here to learn to become attached to Krishna. That's how you control the mind. Right? You cannot control the mind artificially. You cannot control the mind by just saying, mind, listen to me. Right? Mind, listen to me. Right? It doesn't work. Right? As soon as you give something, the mind, a negative instruction, it immediately does the opposite thing. Just like I'll give the mind a negative instruction. Okay, is everyone ready? Okay, don't think of a watermelon. Yeah. Does it work? That's the mind. Right? So if you try to control the mind by saying, don't do this, don't do that, it won't work. It doesn't work. Right? You can just give the mind continuously negative instructions. Right? Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. It doesn't work. Right? The mind will not cooperate. How do you conquer the mind? Mind, become attracted to Krishna. Mind, become attached to my Guru. Mind, become attached to my service. That's how you control the mind. Then the mind becomes controlled. Otherwise, it's very difficult to control the mind. It's not possible to control the mind. Arjuna says, he said to Krishna, it's not possible. That's Arjuna, Prabhupada points out in the Gita. That's Arjuna. So Arjuna said to Krishna, it's not possible. Then how is it possible for us? So therefore Krishna says, Dadami buddhi yogam tam. I will give you the intelligence when you have the right type of bhakti, then I will give you the intelligence how to come to me. So this is how to deal with the mind. As it says in this verse of the Bhagavatam, it is like a headstrong horse. Very difficult. Very difficult. So you have to learn like that. Just like Prabhupada said to one of his early brahmacharis, and he said, not too much attachment, not too much renunciation. Right? As our Prabhupada instructed his first disciples who were brahmacharis and brahmacharinis in the 1960s. He said, not too much attachment, not too much renunciation. Both of those won't work. It's like if you're riding a horse, if you've ever ridden a horse, right? If you're too strong on the horse, if you try to pull him too hard, then as it says in the purport, he will just go, he'll throw you off. But if you let him go too loose, then I remember when we were in high school, we went on one school camp, and one of the girls, she said, I'm a good horse rider. So they said, okay, you take that horse, because that horse is a little bit more harder to control. So she got on the horse, and then the horses went, just took off. And the guy who was running the horse camp, he had to like chase after him and grab the horse like that. So if you give the horse too much rein, if you give the mind too much rein, right, it just takes off. Too much attachment, too much renunciation, same thing will happen, right? The mind will kick up. So Prabhupada says, not too much, not too much, just balanced, right? That is how we practice Krishna consciousness, right? Don't be too renounced, don't be too attached, just stay in the middle path and focus on Krishna, and that's how you will conquer the mind. Okay, so we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed.
Could you please give me a practical example of this mind work from thinking, then down to feeling, and then how a system works with an example, particular subject, like how it works.
How it works. Yeah. So then,
what's going on in the head?
Yeah, so then thinking means you're thinking of Rasgulla. Okay, I like it. That's thinking, right? Feeling means, oh, I had one yesterday. Prabhupada said, perfect rasgulla, when you bite it, it squeaks in the mouth. It goes like squeaky sound. He said, that's perfect rasgulla. Like that. When you go to Calcutta, you get like perfect rasgulla. You bite it and it just goes squeak. Like that. So then, squeak, and then what happens in the mouth? There is juice. Juice goes, right? So then in the mind says, oh, yesterday I had rasgulla. Right? And it was so nice. Right? Sweet and juicy. Rasa means juice, like that. So that is thinking. And then feeling means, oh, I have to have one today. I have to find that shop that I yesterday. I was in Calcutta yesterday, right? And I drove up and down the street and I found the shop, now I can't find it. For feeling. Oh, sorry, yeah, willing. Yeah. Yeah, willing. Like that. So that's willing. Willing means I want that now, right? I have to have it now. So then the mind becomes attached, like that. Does it make sense?
So first we just the thoughts, and then our feeling, and then it's not feeling. Like it's almost the same with thinking.
No, feeling means you're contemplating the thought, contemplating the thought, and then and willing means then you are desiring to get the thought, to get the object. That's why we said in the class that if you get to feeling and willing, it's very difficult to deal with the mind. So when you're thinking, okay, all of us think of sense gratification, that comes, but then kick it out and then get on with your service like that. But when you get to that feeling point and then you get to the willing, then it's very difficult to control the mind. Any other question or comment? I think it's because we said two things which sound contradictory. What were the two things? One is you have to hit the mind with a stick, like as it says, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says in the end of the third chapter of the Gita, he says that the only way to deal with the mind is a dunda. He says you have to hit it like that. But at the same time, we said it doesn't like to accept negative things. Yeah, we also gave the example, you can't give the mind a negative injunction. Like you say, don't think of a watermelon. It's not possible because the mind does not accept negative injunctions or negative thoughts.
You start thinking of the watermelon straight away.
Yeah. Yeah, we did the test in the class like that. So it means that the mind does not like to accept negative things. He doesn't like to accept it. So therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Param Vishwa Nidakshati." You have to give the mind something superior, right? So you say to the mind, the mind's attached to something. The mind says, "Oh, I want this. I want this. I want this." It's thinking like that. So it's thinking. It's like, "No, yeah, but I'll give you this. This is better." Like that. That's why the intelligence has to be strong. It explains that the intelligence becomes strong by hearing Shastra. So when you hear Shastra, when you hear Bhagavatam class and you read Prabhupada's books, your intelligence becomes strong. So when the mind says, "I want this," the intelligence says, "No, no, actually, this is better for you." Right? Mind says, "I want to go out and watch movies and eat popcorn, right, and go to a restaurant and forget Krishna." And intelligence says, "Okay, yeah, okay, that sounds all good." But everyone in the material world is already doing that. Are they happy? So what's better for you? Better that you do some devotional service. Why don't you go and do some book distribution? Why don't you go and do Harinam at 5 o'clock tonight? Why don't you go and do... So it's a higher taste. Hands up if you like Harinam at 5 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
Not many people put their hand up. I'm not saying you have to go. I'm saying hands up if you like doing it. What's wrong with you guys? You don't like it?
Amazing.
So the point is that if you want to conquer the mind, you have to give it something higher. No, you have to give it devotional service. And in Kali Yuga, basically it's chanting the holy name. Like that. You just do Harinam Sankirtan. When the Hare Krishna movement began in the late 60s and the early 70s, that's all the devotees did. Vishnu Jan Swami, right, who's famous all over ISKCON, his kirtans, we still play them all over ISKCON. He would lead kirtan in San Francisco for 10 hours every day. Every day. And that's all the devotees did in the early days. And you see all the original videos, everyone's just in bliss. Prabhupada took them to India for the first time, and they were travelling on the trains with Prabhupada across India, between the cities. And the train stops for a couple of minutes at each platform. Every time they got to a platform, they would all jump off and do kirtan on the platform. You know, Jumuna Mataji, she was leading, and all the devotees, you know, they'd all get off, do kirtan, the train would start moving again, everyone would jump back on, go down to the next, you know, station, everyone would jump off. That's all the Hare Krishna movement is. That's all Lord Chaitanya did when he travelled through South India for 4 years. Right? That's all he did. He just chanted Hare Krishna all the way through. Like that. That's our movement. So whether you're with devotees, whether you're not with devotees, whether you're on the street with Mridanga and Kartel, or whether you're just washing the dishes, right? You chant Hare Krishna. What did Prabhupada say? Chant and be happy. That's it. Does that answer your question?
Yeah,
it's like Krishna carries a stick to control the cows. So he doesn't hit the cows, he doesn't sit there and go, bang, oh, come on. Like, go, get over there, bang, like that. It's just to control, like, come on, like this, tap, like that. So with the mind, you just say, okay, mind's starting to go off here, so no, come on, this way. Unless it's really bad, then give it a good hit, like that. Any other question or comment? Because intelligence, the function of intelligence is rationality. Right, the mind says, I want this, I want that. Just like you're out on the street in Swanson Street, right? And the beautiful girl walks by. So what does the mind say? Yeah, mind says, look at the mind says, look at her. That's what the mind says, look at her. What does the intelligence say? Right? The intelligence says, chant Hare Krishna. Right? Because if you do look at her, right, Prabhupada says when you see a sense object, you look once, because you know we're walking down Swanson Street, beautiful girl walks past, right, and then you look once, right, you turn away like that. Then if you look again, Prabhupada said that is a fall down, and that creates samskara, that creates impression on the mind, and then later on that day, then that will come back into your mind again and again, like that. So therefore, when the mind goes one direction, intelligence will say, hey, what are you doing? Right? Focus. Right? Chant the holy name. Just like you're on Harinam. You're chanting and dancing down the street. Mind looks, you know, beautiful girl is there, but you look away. Come on, chant. Hare Krishna, like that. So the intelligence has to control the mind, not the other way. Any other question, comment?
Krishna is called Rishikesh because all the senses are controlled when we do Krishna.
That's good.
Yes, just a comment before I came in today, not finished cleaning, because as you walk out there's a big process, and my dad always told me to get a process, I never wanted, and then there's a big process there, and I said, no need to go to the Hare Krishnas anymore. I was thinking, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to go now. That's a good way for the mind. Some mercy or something. Shouldn't have my way.
Why did it say no need to go
there? There must have been another restaurant that was like a cheap or something on the shelf.
Yeah, just like in 1967-68 in San Francisco, directly across from the temple, then the neighbor put a big sign out the front of his house and it said Hare Krishna is bad and all these things, and Hare Krishna is this, Hare Krishna is that, Hare Krishna. So devotees were a bit upset. And then Prabhupada came to San Francisco, and then Prabhupada pulled up in the car in front of the temple, and one of the devotees pointed to the sign, and Prabhupada looked, and Prabhupada said, very good. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like that. So Prabhupada was happy, not happy, but everyone's getting purified by the holy name. So that's good. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki.